We'll go now back where we were last night and today in the book of James, in building strong, faith-filled, stout words for God, not against God. Choosing life. In many things we offend all. This is James 3, 2. Let me remind you of something that James said right in the beginning of this book of his. The Holy Ghost said through him in this first chapter, talking about the Word of God, talking about the written Word, being doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. And he calls the written word the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty. You put the Word of God and its instructions into motion, it will cause victory into your life. And there's no such thing as God specializing you, separating you out and saying, no, I don't want you to have victory. You're just too big a mess. No, no. If God didn't want somebody to have victory, Jesus could have just stayed at home. Amen. Because we were going down the tubes. There wasn't any question about that. He came to give us victory. He came to give us overcoming life. This is the perfect law of liberty. A law is something that works every time you put it to work. That's the reason it's called a law. Now, in that third chapter, in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a mature man, and able also to bridle the whole body. How much of your body? All of it. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us. Now, can you see there that he is referring to the body by calling our attention to a horse and controlling that horse, turning that horse's direction of travel? You see, do you see he's illustrating bridling the whole body? Because he used the word bridle. So he's using that to tell us, I don't care what's going wrong with your body. I don't care what kind of addiction there is to your flesh. I don't care where your flesh is trying. Yeah, it's still here. Praise God. Amen. I don't care what you're trying to do. Put the bridle where? In the mouth. Yes. And turn the thing. Yeah, but how? I just don't understand this. Well, you're in the right place.
That's right.
Amen. I don't understand it all either. And like Brother Hagin, the more I learn, the more I realize how much I don't know. And how much more I want to know. Oh, I'm telling you, you're looking at the hungriest man in the world tonight. I'm hungry for the Word of God. My. But Jesus said, if you're hungry for it, you will be filled. So instead of just going around saying, I'm hungry for the Word. Oh, I'm hungry for the Word. Well, somewhere down the line, you're going to have to start saying, I'm filled. Glory to God, I'm filled. Jesus said, I'd be filled, I'm filled.
Brother Copeland, I don't feel filled. It didn't say to talk about how you feel.
Don't fill your mouth with your feelings. It'll change every 5 minutes. God calleth those things that be not as though they were. It didn't say, like God who thinks of those things. No, he said, he calls them. He calls them. That be not as though they were. Think about that. Think about how far back is were. it'd have to go all the way back before the foundation of the world, because that's when he planned me. Huh? It has to be in line with his plan. He calls things that be not what? Be not in line with his plan of redemption, his plan of blessing, his plan of life, his plan of victory. Hallelujah. As though they were. As though it had always been like it should be. And they are. Now the word says Abraham before God. Well, that word translated before also means like God. So he, in God's presence, like God, called things that be not as though they were. And God didn't get put out with him because he's mimicking him. No, the word tells us to imitate God as dear children imitate their parents. Well, yeah, why would God get mad? Because you're acting like him. After all, he's right. And if you're not acting like God, who you acting like? Don't answer that. Amen. So now, the ships, though they be so great and are driven with fierce winds, I don't care how bad the storm is, they are still turned about with a very small rudder, very small steering gear. Amen. The rudder is nowhere near big as that ship, but it has command of the whole thing. The only thing of it is, you have to have a captain that's mature enough to drive the thing in the proper direction. That's the reason he started off by saying the man that can bridle his tongue is a mature captain. He's a mature driver. Amen. So now, let's read on down. The tongue is a little member, but it boasts great things. It is a small member of the body, but it's the biggest member in the body. You understand by what he's saying? That's what is boasts great things. Because I don't care how big the body is, the only thing that will turn it from going towards death, going downhill towards negativism, going downhill toward sin, the only thing that'll turn it, and anytime you're going to walk by faith, my brother and sister, you're going to have to go uphill. You're going upstream to this natural environment. You remember that message back there years ago that Jerry Savelle preached about being in that faith boat? And he just drifting along downstream with everybody else, and then he just headed towards sickness and disease and doubt and unbelief and broke and everything else. But he got a hold of the Word of God, and he got a hold of faith, and he took that faith paddle, and here he started paddling that boat, and he turning that little boat, oh, and he turning that boat, and now he's going upstream. Glory to God, and things are working. But he got tired and decided to rest a little bit. Little boat turned right back around, started running down the river. Don't quit paddling now, brother. And he said, people floating down the river. Look at that crazy preacher. He's going to paddle himself to death. You didn't catch that. That's all they know how to say. He's going to paddle himself to death. No, he's paddling himself to life. Well, what am I going to say? It thrilled me to life. Why don't you just say you were thrilled? We'll believe you. You don't have to lie about it to get us to believe it. You didn't die yet. If you had any power in your words, you would have a long time ago. With as much death as you got in your mouth. Now, oh, we're getting somewhere. Now, stay with me now. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It, say it. Defileth. It didn't say it kind of defiles. It didn't say, well, you know, it kind of messes up. No, no. Start listening to just general conversations. And keep your mouth shut. You don't want to be judging people. But just listen to what people say. Listen how often people use the word kinda. Almost. Well, you know, I really think we, well, you know. No, I don't know. You ain't told me yet. I guess you're just pumping me up, getting me ready. Well, you know. No. Well, I think maybe we should kind of turn around. How do you kind of turn around? Brother Jesse, bless his heart. When Jesse, the first airplane his ministry had, he'd get up in front with his pilot and sit up there with him, and sometimes he'd let him talk on the radio. Can you imagine that Cajun on the radio? I can't, but anyway. But, you know, Jesse can speak pretty well when he makes up his mind to it. And he taught him how to work the radios, and he got good at it. And so he's doing the radio work, and he came to me one day, and he said, Brother Cole, let me tell you something, man. He said, you know, I can almost land that airplane now. I said, Jesse, almost landing is a crash. Ain't that right, Tracy? Have you ever almost landed your airplane? No, no. No, not almost. That's not, you don't kind of land. See how we need to begin to take authority over this thing? And be absolutely more positive about the things we say instead of all these loose words all the time. Well, Brother Copeland, you just being picky. Yeah. I'm picking at me. I'm not going to have weak words anymore. I'm not going to walk up to my baby's bed and my faith be wimpy. I've made a quality decision in this area. I'm done with that. Amen. Amen. Lazy tongue. No word. Stay with me now. You still love me, right? Yes. All right. It defiles the whole body, and it sets on fire. It sets. It starts it. It doesn't kind of start it. It doesn't, well, it might have been my words this time. No, darling. No. That's where it started. Now, true, you're going to have to go to God and seek the Lord and get His wisdom about how it got into your mouth, because the devil will hide it from you. He'll sneak it from you. He'll do anything he can to keep you from connecting what he's doing in your life, particularly where your family, your children, and your finances are concerned, because particularly in your finances, because he'll control you with money as long as he can. Yeah, I agree. No more. So now, it defiles the whole body, and it sets on fire the course. Now, my cross-reference says the wheel of nature, the wheel of natural life, natural, physical. You could say the wheel of physics, natural, the laws of physics. There are laws in this physical world that are in place, whether you're a Christian or not. I mean, or whatever you are, there are certain physical laws. Insanity is thinking and saying that you can continue to do the same thing over and over and over and eventually get different results. You can't. That is the definition of an insane thought. You can't plant blueberries and get a pear tree. It ain't gonna happen. And you're smarter than that. But he will try to set you up to where you're doing that and you don't realize you're doing it. And most of the time, it's because the world has picked up a cliche. They've picked up a saying. I'll tell you, I just can't believe that, can you? I just can't believe that. I can't believe. I can't believe. Oh, I can't believe. I can't believe. I can't believe. Now, you're building something over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And then you start struggling, believing what the Word says. You catch yourself arguing with it mentally and you don't even mean to argue with it. You're reading it and all the time you're thinking, oh, that doesn't ever work for me. What's happening? Your whole system is doing its very best to enforce the fact that you can't believe. That's what you said. And it is defiling and corrupting, particularly when you connect it to your physical being. Now, listen. It sets on fire the wheel of nature, and it is set on fire. It is engineered and planned by hell. That's the only way the devil can get into your life. Those are the things that create fear. And fear is a spiritual force. Acted upon activates the forces of darkness and Satan's troops. So that's what he's after. Now, I'm going to read it again. You're my witness. Does that say Holy Bible? And it says it again right over here, right in front, the first book of Moses called Genesis. That's the Old Testament. You'll agree with me, this is a Bible, right? Book of James. Mm-hmm. This is not a book about the Bible. This is Bible. All right. It, the tongue, defiles the whole body, and it sets the fire, and it starts the wheel. You got a fat body, you got a fat mouth. Now, some of you started squirming around and getting your little feelings hurt because I called you fat. Well, hey, how's this? Obese. I'm not slandering you. I am pointing out the fact that if Satan can get your feelings to be touchy, then you won't listen when I tell you it's your mouth that put that 40 pounds on there. Well, I know, Brother Copeland. No, not the food you ate with your mouth. It was the words you said that put your system in motion, and to eat what you ate, and eat the amount that you ate, when you ate it, how you ate it, and all of the monkey motion stuff you said in the meantime. All I have to do is just pass by that table full of food and I'll gain 15 pounds. It ain't funny, chubby. Hey, don't you try to con an old con. You understand me? This is the name of this game. God gets on me, I get on you. Amen. I didn't enjoy it when I got on me, but I sure do enjoy getting on you. because I'm free and I'm in victory and I'm 100 pounds lighter than I used to be. 75 years old and my blood pressure's perfect and I'm strong and getting stronger every day, not weaker every day. I'm stronger than I was 10 years ago. When you see me 10 years from now, I'll be stronger than I am now. God's been dealing with me. If you're tired all the time, you got a tired mouth. Man, I'm telling you, he's been all over me about this, where physical tiredness, looking at all of the natural excuses and the natural reason, got right back into here with me. And he's not the least bit embarrassed to call it just exactly what it is right in your face. The reason you're physically tired all the time is because you got a tired mouth. You're talking tiredness. You're talking weariness. Shut up! My number one scripture, until the Lord says something else. My number one scripture. He that has my commands and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. I will love him, my Father will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Not, ah, Lord, I'm tired. I'm damn just tired. The Lord in just really got straight with me 4 days ago. You will not hear me saying it anymore. How glorious is. I just have always not wanted to be a loud woman. And she's not. Used to. I mean, we'd sit all day and she'd never say anything. Well, those days are over. She got to preaching. One thing she don't ever say anything to me about is how long I preach. No. No. Because when she finally started preaching, and the Lord told her to preach healing, so she said, I'm just going to preach till somebody gets healed. And that's what she started doing. Amen. Well, and that's what she did. And people started getting healed. Amen. So that's the reason we had to put her up on the first in the morning. Give her the whole day. That's fine. Amen. And I'm saying these things humorously, but there's truth here. And she's quiet spoken, always has been. I mean, we've been married 50 years and she's always been that way. And I'd say, Gloria, I can't hear you, girl. Will you please talk where I can hear you? Well, I'm just doing the best I can. What? I said, I'm doing the best I can. I said, well, say it towards me while I turn this ear. Now, when we're in the car particularly. Gloria, I can't hear you. I finally thought, I ain't going to answer for a while. Maybe she'll get irritated at me and holler at me. So I'm just driving along there. And she just goes on and talks. She never gets irritated or upset. And she just talk on and on, and I ain't got a clue what she says. Now, I injured my ears a number of years ago and had some hearing loss and hearing damage. And the devil sneaked this in on me because I believed God for hearing clearly and seeing clearly. I believed God for that. But see how he caught me? I was not confessing, I cannot hear you, but I was communicating with her, telling her, I cannot hear you. What is the difference? I kept saying it. You'll never hear me say it again.
Okay.
All right. See that? Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. She, one year, we were out of Silver Dollar City here. The Hirshines are just wonderful people and wonderful friends of ours. And our whole bunch was out there, and Jesse and Kathy and Jerry and Carolyn Savelle and Dennis and Vicki Burke and Happy and Jeannie were, Hal Caldwell were there. And so we went out on that train that goes around Silver Dollar City. And wonderful place. We enjoy Silver Dollar City. And we were all in that car. And you know, you have a train robbery. And they stop the train, and this one guy is looking for his mama. My mama on that train, and he's got his gun out, you know, and he's looking, and they're all looking around. That little blonde-haired woman, we were just sitting there smiling at these kids, the kids that play those parts, college kids, and we're just watching them and smiling. All of a sudden, and you could hear her, she said, "Is that you, son?" Little Miss Soft-Spoken don't ever say anything unless she's preaching. Hollered out, "Is that you, son?" Everybody in that train car nearly fell to the floor. And that poor guy that was playing that part, he wasn't expecting that. And it threw him off. His timing got thrown off. The rest of them, they finally just quit the robbery and turned around and walked off. Bless their heart. And I never did get the opportunity to, or get her to apologize to them. I wasn't going to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, here's my point about that. As I went before the Lord, I said, "Lord, I'm inquiring of you here. I'm believing God. I know what your word says. But the results that I should be experiencing, now I had experienced some results. I'm hearing better than I have in many years. My ears got injured back years and years ago. About 48, 49 years ago, but they had already, because of loud airplanes, and back in those days you didn't have good ear protection, they were already beginning to show wear and tear even before this happened. But I had seen results and was experiencing results, but I would notice it would fluctuate. And so I said, "I'm yours, sir, to command. I say what I hear you say. I do what I see you do. I'm asking you for your wisdom according to James chapter 1. I believe I receive it. Praise God, it's mine." Why? It's not that God's withholding anything from you and me. No, that's not the problem. The bit slack. Huh? There's something going on in the mouth, in the tongue. It has to be. It doesn't come from anywhere else. There's something like when you say things, you look in the mirror and say, "Man, alive, I feel fat." I was preaching. I was on a TV broadcast, and I was in back there in the speaker's room, and there was a brother that was speaking right before me, and he was in there, and he's a missionary. And had been out of the country and been in parts of Africa for many years, and just a powerhouse, dear man of God. And I just think the world of him. And I was at the time about, I was 40, 41 years old maybe, which was half his age. And he's a big man, and I imagine he stands 6'4", 6'5", probably weighed well over 200 pounds, good shape, and early to mid-80s. And he's standing there just checking his tie. I'm no further away from him than that podium, but I was sitting there in the chair, and he's in front of the mirror. And he said, man, they ought not let anybody this old out in public. Now, he's in the habit of saying that. Aging is bothering him. So what's happening? His mouth is defiling him. It's aiding aging. So all of the things that his physical body can do, everything it can manage, everything it's doing its very best to fulfill everything he sees about aging. He didn't realize what he's doing. I don't know that he heard himself say that. But I did, and it went off on the inside of me. Well, I'm not one to go, you know, go correcting my elders. I'm not, no, my papa taught me better than that. And I just prayed right quick. I said, oh, Lord, give him life for those words. And the Lord said, you go and say this to him. Well, he gave me words. I walked around, and I said, sir, now, you're my elder. I'd never dare say this to you if the Holy Ghost hadn't said it. And he sent me because he loves you, and I'm saying it because I love you. I said, please, sir, please, don't say that about yourself anymore. He looked at me. What? I said, you just said anybody this old ought not be allowed out in public. I said, if you weren't allowed out in public, we wouldn't even have your ministry. And you could see, it just went all over me. He didn't realize he said that. I didn't realize. I didn't make the connection. You couldn't have held a gun on me and make me confess with my mouth that I can't hear. But yet I was communicating with Gloria and using those same words. I could have just as easily said, sweetheart, could you speak a little louder, please? She'd have known exactly what I meant. I didn't have to say, Gloria, I can't hear you. Now, if you get at least a bit irritated and exasperated about it, it'll get stronger. You'll begin to push it. You'll find yourself looking in the mirror and saying, it just don't seem to me like, Lord, my ears are getting any better. What? Well, I mean, don't you know, Brother Copeland? I mean, I couldn't be lying about it. No, you just lied because you told me a while ago you believed God for your hearing, and now you're telling me now that it's not getting any better. Better take the slack up on that bridle. Better pull them reins up tight. And turn that ship around. You better turn that thing around. Amen. Don't you ever say that no more, boy. I'm telling you, and you repent. I repent before God. I repent for talking that way to my wife or anybody else that heard me. No, every time you see me in the future, I'm going to tell you, I tell you right now, I see clearly and I hear clearly. Oh, my youth is renewed like the eagles. I hear better than I ever did in my life. Well, Brother Copeland, you'd be lying about it. No. The Word said, don't lie against the truth. I'm telling you the truth, and the more I tell it and the more I say it in the name of Jesus, the better my ears respond. And I know what happened to my ears, so I began to speak to the little cilia in there that got broken and damaged. Oh, thank God. My ears are growing new cilia. Thank you. Yes, amen. and my being a musician, I believe they'll hear better than they ever have. Oh, I believe that. Well, that's only been since last Saturday afternoon, just this past Saturday, that the Lord arrested me on that and brought me up tight about it. Well, I had, someone gave me a new watch a few weeks ago, and this one I'm wearing tonight is a quartz, but this one is an automatic and a really, really, really nice watch, not some little cheap ding-dong watch, you understand? Now, I like cheap ding-dong watches, but this one, no ding-dong watch. I mean, it's a nice watch, and I'm sitting there. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm reading and looking, and I went like that, and I heard that watch. I heard it running. I said, wow, my, that sounds good. And I took it off, and I stuck it up there, man, and I could hear it. This is a fine movement. It's not a loud movement at all is what I'm trying to say to you. And I got it up there, and I could just hear that little watch is going. So I took it over here in this ear, and this one's always been a little better than this one. I stuck it over here, and this one on the right side just tick, 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 tick. Oh, I just sat there and swapped ears. That's only been 4 days ago.
Praise the Lord.
Oh my, oh my, glory, glory, glory be to God. Now I'll introduce this and then we'll close and take it up here tomorrow. Let's turn back to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 5. This is speaking about Jesus. And being made perfect, he, Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now look at this. Called of God. You have to understand, and you have to continually renewing your mind and reminding yourself that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was, is, and always will be a man. There is a man in the Godhead. We are well represented in the hot top office. The highest office you can get, glory to God. There's a man, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And we his joint heir. He's called of God. His calling on high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Say called of God. Now turn back with me to the third chapter of Hebrews. Verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers, say that, I'm a partaker. I'm a joint heir. He was called a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, but then we have been made what? Kings and priests unto our God. We are a royal priesthood. That word translated priest, we get our word minister from that same word. It's also translated administer. Then we get our word administration from that same word. Those that administrate minister under the chief administrator. You follow the language here? holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Consider this. Now, we found he's called a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, but we are partakers of that high priestly calling. So that anointing that's on him is on us. It isn't just on the head, it's on the body. So here it is. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle. Now, I told you later tonight we'd get to this, and we'll introduce this right now. The one God appointed and sent. The apostle and high priest of our profession, the anointed Jesus. That's what he's anointed to do. Now, that word profession there, literally literally means this: to say the same thing. Now, it's interesting that the Holy Ghost used the English word profession here. This is truly our profession. What is a profession? That's what you do. What do you do? How do you do what you do? When you get into the body of Christ, we don't work to earn a living. The just shall live by faith. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no toil with it. He adds no sorrow with it. He don't make you pay for it.
That's right.
Don't you see here? He is the high priest of his words in our mouths, and his words in our mouths is our profession. That's who we are. We are high priests, joint heirs. He's King of kings. We are the kings over which he is king. He is the chief administrator, and we are the ministers. Oh, you missed a place to shout right there. Glory be to God. He has turned the administration of the kingdom of God over to his body and his people. So now when you say, God help me here. I just don't understand how it can do all this much good for me to say I'm free when I'm not free. I mean, how can I say I'm free when I'm not free? Well, the reason you're not free is because you won't say it. The saying comes first. And all you've been saying is, I wish I was free, but I'm not. I'm not free. Oh, I wish I was free. Oh, God, make me free. I wish I was free, but I'm not. Oh, I wish I was free, but I'm not. I just can't quit. I just can't stop. I can't be free. I can't be free. I can't be free. Oh, Lord, I wish I was free. Broke, disgusted, and sad. No. I heard Brother Keith talking about this. I turned on one of his DVDs. Glory and I go to bed. We have a nice big TV screen that comes down. But before we watch anything else, we watch the preaching of the word. Before we turn on the news, before we turn on anything else, we get the word first. And we got so excited watching Brother Keith the other night. She jumped out of one side of the bed, I jumped out of the other, and we met around in the front, just standing there and doing like this, in our pajamas, brother, in the bed. Glory to God. Yeah. Sleep good when you do that. After a while. Amen. Hallelujah. And Brother Keith had told this fellow that came to him, wanted him to help him quit smoking. And Keith said, "Will you do what I say?" And he said, "Yeah." And he said, "Now, every time you reach in your pocket and you get a pack of cigarettes out, you say, 'Thank you, Lord, that I'm free from smoking.' And then when you put it in your mouth, say, 'Thank you, Lord, I'm free from these cigarettes.' And when you light it, say, 'Thank you, Lord, I'm free from these cigarettes.' And then the first time you take a drag on it," he said, "when you're blowing the smoke out your mouth, say, 'Thank you, Lord, I'm free from these cigarettes.'" And he kept saying, "Brother Keith, but I'll be smoking." And Keith said, "Well, yeah, you're smoking anyway. But you say it. But yeah, but I can't say thank you for being free. I'm still smoking." That's the natural mind's problem with this. And that is the, not a, the problem. It defiles the whole body. It is the kindling that started the fire in the first place. And Keith finally got him to do it. And it just bothered his head. And I've been through it. And I was worse than him. My goodness, I started smoking cigarettes when I was just a little boy. And I'd get so embarrassed over it, and it would bother me, and I'd get under condemnation. Well, that's not going to change anything. Condemnation has never fixed anything. There is no condemnation when you walk after the spirit and not after the flesh. Walk after the word and not after the five physical senses. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You can beat yourself over the head with it for the next 50 years and it'll never change it. But you confess your freedom for 50 days and you'll be free of it. Now, I just picked that number because I said 50 years in comparison. It won't take you that long if you'll earnestly do it. And so he did that. And he came back to Keith several weeks later. And Keith said when he came in the room, you didn't have to ask him what was going on. He said he was shining. "Oh, Brother Keith, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free." And he told him, he said it just finally hit him one day. He'd been doing that every day. Well, at first he didn't want to do it. Why? Because he's not only in the habit of smoking, he's in the habit of saying, "I can't quit. I can't quit. I've tried everything. I can't quit." Well, he hadn't tried everything. He hadn't tried the only thing that'd change it, which is the words of his mouth, according to the Word of God. And so what he went through was the praise cure. He's thanking God and praising Him is all he was saying. "Thank God I'm free. Thank God I'm free." Now, what did James say? It's the perfect law of liberty. So his whole system then went into a change mode and began to turn because a higher authority, the high priest himself, was now involved in this case. And so his spirit, his soul, and his body now is doing what? And finally, he said, he just woke up and thought, I don't need that anymore. I don't even want that anymore. The turn had been successful. And what was it, Keith? 2 or 3 weeks, something like that? It'll do it. It'll change anything. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Nothing in the world order that faith in God won't change and overcome. But you have to put the faith gun to work. The big gun is praise and worship. Oh, that's when you put your mouth to work on the highest level. It's when you begin to praise Him and worship Him. And He becomes the biggest thing in your life. Hallelujah. Oh, did you get anything out of this tonight? Well, give the Lord praise. Get up on your feet, please. Stand up now, please. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Begin to praise and worship the Lord. Praise and worship Him. Praise and worship Him. Praise and worship Him. Say it, I'm free. When the Son has made you free, you're indeed free. Say it. When the Son has made you free, you are free indeed. Hallelujah. I am a free man. I am free from sickness.
I am free from fear.
Fear? You don't have any right over me. I am not subject to your bondage.
I am
a free man. Oh, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Nobody can put you in bondage. You have to put you in bondage. There's no such thing as a generational curse. Now, wait a minute before you jump all over me about that. It's not a generational curse. The reason it gets passed down through generations, where you have the same sickness father to son, to father to son, to father to son, is because the children are learning how to talk like the daddy. Jimmy Hester, friend of mine, graduated from the same high school about 3 years before I did there in Fort Worth, Texas, and I met him. He was a young preacher boy in the same Baptist church my folks went to. And my mother, you know, had a prayer group for a number of years, and Jimmy went over there to see her. Somebody else took him to that prayer group of hers. And now he was a pastor of the church, been in the ministry for some years. So she saw him when he came in. And there was a number of people there in her living room. Oh, I'm telling you, she'd have a prayer group for several years. And you couldn't even park around anywhere close to my dad's house because on the night, Mama's having prayer meeting. And after a few years, that she'd turn it over to someone that God would call in that prayer group to pastor it and make a church out of it, and they'd move out of the house and get a church going, and she'd wait a couple of years till that church got going. She'd start another prayer group, and it'd get going, and the neighborhood would get jammed traffic, and then there'd be another church come out of it, and this just went on cycle after cycle. Well, Jimmy Hester came in one night, and his friend brought him in there, introduced him to Mother, and she came over, and I walked in to a motorcycle shop where I enjoy going. And Jimmy is a motorcycle guy. And he was in there and he was on the phone. And when I walked in the door, he was me coming and said, and he finished talking to whomever he was talking to. And he hung up. He said, Brother Copeland, I got to tell you something. He said, the night I walked into your mother's prayer group, and that had been, I believe, over 20 years before this day that I walked in there in the shop and saw him. He said, when I walked into your mother's prayer group, he said, there wasn't any place, all the chairs was full. He said, I sat down on the piano bench. And she said, you wanted me to minister to you, to pray for you? He said, yes, ma'am. She said, what for? He said, well, my grandfather died of heart trouble my daddy died of heart trouble, and I've got heart trouble, and I need you to pray for me. She said, aren't you a preacher? He said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, tell me the truth about that. He said, I just told you the truth about it. My granddaddy died of heart trouble, and my daddy died of heart trouble, and he said, I've got bad heart trouble now. She said, and you're a preacher? Yeah, he said, I'm a preacher. And he told me, he said, Kim, she started making me mad. And she said, tell me the truth about that. He said, lady, I told you the truth twice. My grandfather died of heart trouble. My daddy died of heart trouble. And I got a bad heart now. He said, Kenneth, she boxed my ears. He said, she slapped both of my ears and she caught me by the ears and shook my head and said, by his stripe ye were healed. He bore our sickness and carried our disease. And that's the truth about that. He said, Kenneth, I've never been so stunned in my life. But he said, I want to tell you something, my good friend and brother. He said, she had to get through to me. She had to get through. He said, there was some kind of shell around me. Well, sure there was. He told me later. He said, my mama told me all that all the time. She said, now, Jimmy, you have to take good care of yourself because you know the Hester men don't live out full lifetime. Said that all the time. Well, see, the words were being handed down. Well, the devil was just following the words. Those are words of death. Life and death are in the hand of the tongue, in the authority of the tongue. So they were following their words. Well, so was the devil. That's the only way he can get to a believer, is follow his words. But mother, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, mother said later, she said, I saw death all over him. He wouldn't have lived long. And that anointing came on her and she just boxed his ears for him, man. Got his attention. And when he put that phone down after he told me that, sitting there on that stool at the counter in that motorcycle shop, and he looked at me, he said, I was just getting the results of my physical. He said, I just turned 60 years old. He said, Kenneth, I outlived them all. He said, and none of them live long as I have. He said, I just turned 60. And he said, they told me I've got the heart of a 16-year-old boy. Now, Gloria and I saw Jimmy and his wife during the ministers' conference in January last, just a few weeks ago. In his 80s now. I said, Jimmy, how's your heart? He said, strong, thank you. Isn't that good? Well, see, it wasn't some great medical procedure. Most of the time, not just some of the time, most of the time in those kind of situations where some physical part of the body is failing, there are problems involved. See, when you keep saying, we die young, we have heart trouble, my daddy died with heart trouble, I got heart trouble, my blood pressure's terrible. Well, everything about you is going to do its best to only eat the kind of food that causes heart problems. Oh, it's going to try to do its very best to see to it because it has to obey your voice and you've been making the command. So it has to see to it that you don't get the right nutritions in your heart or it would violate what the captain has been saying. I mean, that's just the way it is. Well, according to Jesus. Now, if you won't believe somebody else, go ahead and eat that garbage you've been eating. But now you can change your physical diet and still have difficulty turning that around, and you're struggling and working with it. What's the matter? You're trying to turn the horse, and you're not turning the bridle. You're not pulling the reins. You're trying to do it some other way, and the horse don't know what you're trying to do. He thinks you're just kicking him in the side. Amen. Well, I just can't eat that stuff. There you go again. See, you're trying to protect what your whole physical being is trying to protect that that's been built up around you and on the inside. That because you're still following the words. Start at the core. By His stripes I'm healed. By His stripes I'm delivered from heart condition. In the name of Jesus. I refuse to aid any kind of condition that I allowed to happen with the words of my mouth. Father, thank you. Lead me and guide me in nutrition. Teach me what I should eat in words, what I should eat in thoughts, what I should eat in food. Change my appetites. Thank God, and God will begin to get all kinds of information across your path about nutrition and about things that, well, look at this. No wonder this thing's been causing trouble. But all those years, I never would eat that stuff. I never did like it. Well, you couldn't like it because you claim you're having heart trouble. And if your body had liked that, it would have helped your heart. And it can't afford to do that because you believe you claim heart trouble. Oh, brother, it can't be that simple. Well, now you take that argument. It's Jesus, not me. But of course, I'm the one with the good heart, you know. So, but you can do whatever you want to do. You might need to stop and get you a chicken fried steak on the way. That's your business, not mine. Ha, 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 it ain't. Yeah, it is my business too. It's my business to testify to you. It's your business with God to make the decisions. Because I can't do it for you. I can preach it to you. Amen. When you take it, it is surprisingly shocking how effective it is and how quickly the devil has to get his hands off you. You belong to Jesus. Now, do it tonight. In fact, let's just do it together. Lift both hands. Oh, God in heaven, according to your word, in the book of Romans. Let me turn over there right quick. Chapter 12. I obey. And by the mercies of God, I present my body a living sacrifice. Holy. Now wait right there. Don't you ever call your body anything but holy again. Amen. Don't you call it an old, fat, ugly thing. How dare you? You don't drive out by a church, a beautiful place like this, and say, look at that big, old, fat, ugly church. No. Your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. By the mercies of God, I present my body a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto you, my God. This is my reasonable service. I refuse to be conformed to this world. From this moment forward, I am renewing my mind by placing it into your command. And I approve the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You watch your mouth about what you say about something God has accepted and called holy. Renew your mind about it. Stop calling it your body. You just gave it to Jesus, a living sacrifice. It's now His. The scripture says it's His. He bought it and paid for it. Call it my sacrifice unto you, until your mind gets hold of that. I don't call this my body. This is my sacrifice, my living sacrifice unto Him. When I was a little boy, I got into the habit of digging at my fingers and my fingernails, and I was just a little boy. And I kept doing that till I was a grown man. And it was one of the most difficult habits. It's in that same realm of people that cut themselves. And when I was a young man, I was so terribly under the influence of wicked and evil spirits because of my rebellion against God and against my family. And I'd pick and mutilate those. And of course, it came time to stop that when I got born again. Well, until I got into the Word, I was having no effect on it at all. And I don't know, sometimes seemed like to me it would get worse. And it just was so irritable to me. And sometimes I'd just get up in the night and just go get a pair of gloves and put them on. But that didn't, it worked as long as I had the gloves on. I'd pull them off, I'd be right back at it again. And I would go for long periods of time that I'd be free from it, and I'd notice myself at it again. And I thought, you know, I better start practicing what I preach. And I started saying it. And I started saying, I want to thank you, Jesus, that I am free. And I took my hands up here like this. And do you know the devil tried to put shame and embarrassment on me for it? Well, that ain't nothing but religion. Stinky, nasty religious tradition. I held my hands up like this and I said, Jesus, forgive me for mutilating these holy fingers on this body, this living sacrifice, this body of Christ, this your body. Forgive me, sir, and I am free. Thank you for making me a free man. I want to thank you and praise you that I don't do that. And every time I'd notice that, I'd say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, sir, for freeing me from mutilating these holy fingers and holy hands. You know, I noticed that coming to my thinking and coming to my imagination, just as I would begin to lay hands on someone, that thought would come across my mind. These are holy hands. Yes. The body of Christ, the body of the anointing. Well, of course there's anointing in these hands because that's what God said do. But can you see my confession of freedom over in one area got over and became alive in the ministry of laying hands on someone? Ooh, glory. Hallelujah. Just from acknowledging His Word and His holiness, turned me all the way around. And it wasn't but just a few days. Because it wasn't my will to be doing that. It was just a few days. What if I'd have known that when I was 12 years old? Well, if I'd have known that when I was 12 years old, I wouldn't have allowed the devil to make a fool out of me. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Keith, would you do me a favor? Come take this away from me. Would you help me quit? Now, if you don't want to quit, you go right ahead. But somebody's going to have to throw the switch on me. I'd, I'd, I could cut this off, but I don't want to. I am enjoying it too much.
Good.
Praise God. God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's wonderful. Wonderful. Glory to God.